This Saturday is your last chance to cash in on Naira Bets' Gulfstream cashback bonus. On Saturday, in the Sunshine Millions Classic, bet $20 on one horse to win using the Naira Bets app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Bets? No problem. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code MONEY20 and earn a deposit match bonus up to $200. Sign up today for your $200 bonus at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app.
Here I am in the city with a fistful of dollars. And baby, you better believe
I'm back. Back in the New York blue. I'm back. Back in the New York blue. I'm back.
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker, looking ahead to the races on Saturday, January 18th. Going to be looking at the late pick five at Aqueduct. And to do that with me, once again, we're on quite a streak with these Naira shows. We were mixing in guests for a while, but we've just been having fun going through. It's me and the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
What's up, Pete? You know, I just realized, we were having so much fun at the end of our last show that, I mean, I might need to go potty real fast. So you want to pause it?
You are ridiculous, and we did allow you that little break thanks to the magic of editing in the great audio program Audacity. Are you ready to go now?
Yeah, it's a little coffee, a little bit too much coffee, a little bit too much Topo Chico, which is a regional mineral water, sparkling water. So you would enjoy it very much. It's like our version of Saratoga spring water.
I've seen that here, actually, in shops and things, but I didn't know what it was, honestly. Yeah. I thought it was maybe like a soda or something.
It's got a very hipster vibe, so I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be right there in the middle of Brooklyn.
It's going to be in Austin and Brooklyn if it's got a hipster vibe, let's face it. And did I tell you that now, not only in our lives do we know an Austin from Austin, but we know a Brooklyn from Brooklyn. So it's the magic is all happening with the names in the cities where we live.
Speaking of Brooklyn, have you been to my spot lately? Man, I love that place.
Which one?
Little Neck.
Yeah, we go a lot. I'd say we go on average twice a month because it is right across the street from the family yoga that we do on Sunday morning. So it's sort of our little routine. Susan gets the morning off. Perrin and I go down and do this family yoga class at 10 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, we roll over to Little Neck. And Perrin discovered something very interesting. She loves new favorite breakfast, fried chicken and waffles, JK, which Little Neck does a very nice version of. I would say they're most famous for one of the most decadent and great cocktails I've ever had. They call it Bloody Murder. Have you had it?
No, I've not had that.
It's a Bloody Mary garnished with a giant piece of fried chicken, and it's awesome. What do you get over there?
What did I get? I feel like I got like some like maybe like shrimp and grits thing one time.
Yep, they do good shrimp and grits.
And then I don't know. I think maybe just the beverages stuck out to me. We had dinner there one time, right? And I can't remember what I got, but I like the place.
It's cool. And then the last part of our Sunday morning trifecta is right at noon when they open, we roll over to Strong Rope Brewery, where I just became an official member of their mug club, JK. Two clubs I've joined so far in 2020. I am now a member of the mug club at Strong Rope, which is great. We go there early. We're the only people in, catch up with who's ever bartending, have my mug, and Perrin and I play games. But then also, and perhaps a little more relevant to racing, you're talking to one of the latest members of the Royal Enclosure, JK. The Brits accepted my application. Apparently it was some sort of straight-up Meghan Markle for Pete Fornital swap.
This seems like a good trade to me. yeah, I've been to Strong Rope. I think you've taken me there before. And I think Strong Rope is in the Hall of Fame for the most evasive Wi-Fi password.
Yes, because it's so hard to spell, right? It's like flying squirrel, but maybe it's not spelled right, or maybe we just don't know how to spell squirrel. We did have a problem with that.
Yeah, okay, good. Making sure that's the point.
Hopefully they don't mind me giving out their Wi-Fi password. I think Jason will probably be just fine with it, though. It's a nice free plug. It is a great spot to go and check out. They're going to be expanding soon, but we got so many breweries in this neighborhood. They're one that should be on your radar, whether you're here or if you're just somebody, you know, coming in to go racing at Belmont and you're looking for a fun night to hang out in Brooklyn. I would recommend putting that on the list. Maybe we'll even do a get-together there.
I think this is a good question to ask with the Naira show. Pete, how do like old Brooklynites handle the new Brooklyn? Do some hate it, some love it, most hate it, most love it? Because it's obviously completely different than when, say, Richie Migliori grew up in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, and Brooklyn is so big that there are some areas of it that I think haven't changed nearly as much, right? So you might get some neighborhood to neighborhood. And I imagine this happens in Austin too, just some neighborhood to neighborhood thumbing up of the nose. People who live in one of these neighborhoods in the band where I live, the so-called pickle belt, where you see a lot of the, I mean, I love it, obviously, great places to eat and drink, but you know, you do see a fair amount of hipsterdom. That's a little bit less here in the southern part of Brooklyn. We're not really South Brooklyn, but south of the super hipster areas of Williamsburg and Bushwick and up there, where it's like you can hurt yourself for the amount of times you have to roll your eyes interacting with the local populace. Park Slope, not quite that bad. And I think the perspective just changes depending. If you're somebody who like owned here for a long time, you probably love it because you're now, you know, worth an awful lot of money on paper. If you're somebody who's rented in the neighborhood for a long time, it's probably annoying how expensive and crowded it gets. So I apologize for giving you somewhat of an evasive answer, but like so many things in handicapping and gambling, I think the answer really is it depends. You'll hear backlash, but you know, as somebody who's been here since the mid-90s, not all that long in the grand scheme of life, but a couple decades, it's been fascinating watching it change and getting to see these cool places. And I do see it going too far. You know, there are certainly local businesses that the real estate's now so much, they can't stay around. So you see more chains and we're getting to that sort of mid-late gentrification point where things start to go a little bit weird, but we're still kind of in a sweet spot. And I still think it's one of the great, certainly where I am, I think is one of the great urban neighborhoods where you can live. You satisfied with that answer?
I like it.
All right, let's move on and talk about some racing. We've got this pick five. Hey, heard from a couple of people about last week's show. We helped some people get on to some things. You pointed out a nice winner early in that spread race, and then I had a couple of halfway decent opinions. Must say, there was very much of a bias, I thought, in effect last weekend, and I do have that in my mind as we go through these races today. Keep your eyes peeled. See if that's still in effect. You really needed to be on or near, I would say, except in the most extreme of pace instances. This pick five starts off with a New York bred allowance race going 6 furlongs. What'd you come up with?
No, I promise you, this is not a cop-out. I think this race is really, really hard. It feels like when you look at a race like this, these kind of lower level types, and you look at a race where like there's a winning race within every horse's last three races. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that again. When there's a winning race within every horse's last three races, it makes it very, very complicated because at this level, you don't know if horses are going to improve. Maybe there's something on the day they didn't like. There's a trainer change. They're off of Linda, into Linda. You know, you just never really know. And one that I thought was like really, really complicated. I think the one that kind of caught my attention, Imaginaire, made some sense. Had that three race win streak, and then kind of fell off, but then fell off and got a break. So when they fall off and have a break, to me, that you could somehow find an excuse for them to come back and then run well. So Imaginaire was one that made sense. Cool Boy had that really big race last time and was very unlucky not to win that day at 10-1. And then now comes back again, and you hope we'll kind of repeat that performance. Now, Charlie Baker and Linda and Rudy are always dangerous at this level. And they're the ones that really always make me nervous because they win races in bunches. I mean, I don't ever hit the all button, but this is one of those races where if you see something that you like, use the horse and play the horse because this is a very, very complicated race, in my opinion. So, I mean, if I was forced to pick one, I mean, I maybe one of Linda's two horses, just because, you know, she's just so dangerous at this level. And then I thought Rudy's horse was, you know, has a chance to be pretty tough, drawn to the outside. Bustin' Hoffman, a 10 horse, you know, had been with Rudy twice and ran well enough with Rudy, and has a back number for Gary Golo back in September, that if Rudy can somehow find that number, you know, this horse could win by four. So I thought it was a very complicated race. I'm interested in seeing it.
I liked your Imaginaire case, actually. That was pretty interesting. That's one that I'm going to move up in my consideration based on what you said. I was kind of boring here. I mean, I thought Cool Boy really looked like possibly the best horse. So if they runs that last race again, I take your point about the uncertainty of the level, but if the track's playing like it was, and this is just a four-year-old who's gotten as good as he's going to be, I definitely want some Cool Boy, and then I want something to close in case it ends up being too fast to pace. Timeform does code this race fast, and I was thinking that 7 is Heaven looked like the best closer. But I take your point. It's an open enough race that I don't love going here just with two of the top three choices. So I'll do a little bit more digging, but certainly the 6 and the 2 will be A's for me, and I feel like Imagine R might be upgraded to being an A. You mentioned not liking the all. This is a conversation I've been wanting to have anyway. We really haven't had it off air. It's something we talked about with Sean Borman, who appeared on the early week in the Money Show this week, a show definitely worth going back and checking out. But the idea of the modified all or the weighted all, where you have, if you're playing a sequence and you have strong enough opinions elsewhere, or it's a sequence that you want to play because there's money added into it, but you don't have that much opinion in this specific race, the idea of having at least a minimum combination alive to every horse and then weighting the horses that you do like, so you're not just playing a race where you have no opinion. Are you game to incorporating that concept into your horse playing?
I mean, look, you have to identify what your own wagering personality is and what your goals are. You know, I think there's probably three horses in here that I don't need any money on. You know, positive, positively, whatever.
Positively.
Seed money, Ventus. I don't need those horses. So if you just think about it in the, okay. I think we try to look at our horseplay not on an individual day, did I win or did I lose, but look at it at least by week or by month. I think if you start looking at it by day, you can kind of get inside your own head and start chasing last races and try to not be a loser for the day. I think you're better off looking at it in a bigger picture. So if you're going to look at it in a bigger picture, if you think about every time that you could have used 7 horses and you used 10 instead, that's 3 times 3 times 3 times, you know, I mean, so eventually you're really taking chips off of your old bankroll, especially in a game where a 5% rebate matters, a 7% rebate matters. If you think about all the times you're using those extra horses, you're really digging into that bottom line. And so that's why I try to avoid it. And I also think that it's kind of lazy and hopey. It's got a little hopiness to it. I know hopey is not a word, but you're hoping that the crazy thing happens, or you're protecting yourself against the crazy thing. I think you're better off using that money to add a horse in another leg, you know, or to maybe hit the repeat button, have the ticket for $1.50 instead for $1, or, you know, for $1 instead of 50 cents. So that's kind of my take on it. I'm not completely against it, but I try to lean away from it for those reasons.
To be clear, I'm not saying it's something you should be doing every day, but I think there are situations. I think back to some of our heartbreaking beats at Saratoga in the Pick 5 specifically, where we had races we had opinions in and a race with much less of an opinion and with much lower quality horses at the end. And I feel like there were times when a weight at all would have made a lot of sense, because it wouldn't have cost that much in the face of the whole investment. And
right,
you get to reap the benefit of the things that you actually have an opinion on. But I agree, to do it all the time would be incredibly lazy and not recommended at all. And in the big picture of life, it is very smart to think about the money you're saving in the big picture of life when you don't do that.
And if you're going to hit the all button here, there's always the answer to just play the Pick 4.
100%.
And you know, but there's a place for it, right? There's a place for it where, depending on the race, I don't think you want to hit the, if you're going to hit the all button, if you're, so say you're not going to subscribe, you're going to hit the all button sometimes. I would at least challenge you to, if you're going to hit the all button, hit the all button in a situation where you really don't like the favorite or the second choice, but you have some other really kind of sexy opinions later that you want to maximize. So you don't want to toss those two horses because you like a 20-to-1 shot later. So you don't want to be just dead in the water. But still, I would tread lightly in that arena, right? Because there's probably a better answer than the all button. But if you're going to use it anyways, you know, try not to use it where you like you really like the favorite, but you think that like the other seven can win, so you're just going to hit the all button. I think that's probably the worst way to do it.
That's a great point. And getting back to this race at Aqueduct, for me, this would be a terrible situation for me to hit the all. It just came up since you said that bit about the all button, so I went on that tangent. But for me, when I like two of the top three choices but just don't feel great about them, the best scenario for me here is not to really spread and back up. Probably just go to war. If I want to play the pick five, just go to war with those two and just, you know, invest less and be prepared to come back and play the pick four. I think that would be the real world situation for me in this spot, given my opinion. But there are other times when I do think it makes sense, and it's something we'll talk more about as we, you know, on this show, on some other shows, we're going to have an opportunity to dive a lot more into multi-race betting strategy in 2020, it sounds like, and we'll pick this thread up then. Okay, let's move on to race number six, $25,000 claimers, 6 furlongs once again. Mo Diddley looks like another wire thread if the track is playing that way. I feel like Saratoga Giro is taking a very meaningful drop, adding Lescano, another one of these horses I just see getting a great trip. I think those are the two for me. What do you think, JK?
Yeah, I liked Mo Diddley. I thought the races when he was Cantor Marcy, when he was with Cantor Marcy, I thought those two races, three races, were pretty good. Bruce Brown tried him on the turf, and then he comes back and runs on a racetrack that had some moisture in it. Didn't run that well, but didn't run poorly. Kind of an even run there. So I think, you know, he's got Kendrick now. I think he's one that was one that I was going to definitely talk about as kind of my first or second choice. And then I liked the three. We Should Talk. Gary Gullo had the horse. Then Rob Atchus took the horse, ran well with the horse. And then Gary claimed back. I love claim backs. I think that you know, these guys know what they have. It's not a guess. They know what they're doing with these. And so that was the one that had my attention. I like the claim back there and has some good numbers. Ran well last time. 4 races back, had a nice number. Showed some versatility with some ability to run on the turf as well. So I think this is a tough race, and you can use a few of them here, but those are the two that I like the most.
We Should Talk is interesting. Great name, for one thing. Not words you ever want to hear from your significant other, We Should Talk. But Gullo, you point out the claim back, and he's just somebody who I think is sharp in kind of an under-the-radar way, where I always feel like you still get a little bit more value off of Gullo making a trainer move, whether it's debuting a horse at a lower level or claiming one back. I do think that's one worth adding to some combinations if you can afford it within your budget. Let's move on to race number 7. It is the Franklin Square Stakes. Fierce Lady looks best on figs and form and has that auto use angle to me of moving early into a hot pace in the last race. I feel like her edge is such she can work out a trip from inside, even if the rail isn't great, as it sometimes has not been at Aqueduct. I just think they're going to find her to be too tough. Are you a little more creative than me here?
No, I mean, I like Fierce Lady a lot. I mean, I think that her, you know, her first performance when she won was impressive. And then she had some big races up at Saratoga. You know, she didn't run that well. She ran well enough. She got second on July 18th. And there was a big narrative with her. You know, they had sent her to the sale and they were going to sell her. So she had to get on a van. She missed like a week and a half, 2 weeks of training, came back. And I think she had like a little bit of like a little cold or a little, you know, just a little bit off, you know, from a, but she was still fine to run. And she ran really well that day against My Italian Rabbi. And then came back and ran well at Saratoga again. So I think she's a hard knocking, you know, kind of established type. I don't love the rail draw, but she's tactical enough to get away from there with Manny. So I completely agree with you. I think she's one that I would probably single in here. I know Playtone had that big race three back and jumped up, but not one that I'm crazy about. So really for me, Fierce Lady is all I need in this spot.
All right, we're in agreement there. Let's see about the grade three toboggan going seven. We've got some big names in here, JK. We talked on the other show about sometimes trying to find reasons to go against the name horses, but when I look through and write down numbers for this race, I'm having trouble getting past American Anthem and Mind Control, who just, again, look best to me on form and figures. Some questions about Mind Control off the break, I suppose, but I was leaning into the idea of taking these two against the field. What do you think of the toboggan?
Well, the 7 furlongs is going to help American Anthem. I know I tried to beat American Anthem going shorter before, and it didn't always work out. Here's what I'll say about American Anthem is that, you know, I hate looking down and seeing good horsemen who struggled with a horse, and then you now you're expecting the horse to kind of have a big turnaround. You know, Baffert had him run some really big races, but, you know, ultimately I think probably underachieved for what they wanted. Rudolph had him just for a quick second, and I think that was more of a kind of a last-ditch effort before they sold the horse, and now he shows up here. So will Danny Gargan move the horse up? Sure, Danny's the type of guy that can move a horse up, even off of a good horseman like Rudolph and Bob. So my problem is here is that he's probably going to be over bet, but he definitely has a chance of winning. So American Anthem is one that had my attention, but then Mind Control is another one that I can't ignore. He's got so many good races, like when he ran in the Bayshore and his race in the Hopeful, and then obviously beating Chancelot in the Alan Jerkin. So those are the two that had my attention. I don't think they'll ding dong with one another, and they shouldn't. Their styles should offset a little bit, and so those are the two that made sense for me. The rest of them just leave me a little bit hungry for more.
You make a good point about the complementary running styles. I figure American Anthem to be the best of speed, and we've seen Mind Control's act, and he's typically running late. So that's another reason why I feel okay in getting real skinny there. Top of the market stuff, but hopefully we can find one somewhere along the line to unlock a decent payoff in this late pick five. Horse I liked in the nightcap, JK, our Troubadour, I thought, had a real trip excuse last time, breaking poorly, making a wide move into a hot pace. Horse still ran all right, might be catching the right group here, and I was encouraged to see a pretty square 5-1 morning line. I definitely want to have a lot to this horse in the pick. Maybe some backups, but I was thinking maybe even a lone A for me just because I had kind of a strongish opinion on our Troubadour. What did you like in this spot? How are we going to get paid?
Yeah, I like that horse a little bit as well. I thought the 11 now and again made some sense. You know, when these kind of cheaper races, I always look for horses that have some kind of early pace figures or have some hidden excuses. You know, added blinkers last time and ran well, you know, ran well enough on a muddy racetrack. So, you know, making the third start could be improving now and again, drawn out there to the outside, I thought made a little bit of sense. And then, like you said, our Troubadour made sense. And then down to the inside, I thought Titans Will, Orlando Noda, you know, those guys are sneaky good, man. You know, they'll claim a horse and kind of make some noise. Not a ton of wins under their belt, but what they did with T Loves a Fight, who's running in the race prior, you know, kind of got some people's attention. So them showing up there, you know, with that horse and getting that horse in their barn, they didn't First claim gelding. The horse off. Yeah, they didn't claim the horse off of Brad Cox. I think it was more of like a probably Brad Cox had said, look, this one's not going to win for us. So, you know, why don't you give another trainer an opportunity, because it's still Zilla Racing and Zilla has horses with Brad. So I'm assuming that it was just some kind of a change of scenery operation. So that's another horse that could jump up, like you said, first time gelding. So it's a tough race. A lot of these, I always look in these maiden 40s for maiden special weight horses that took money and had a portion of their race that was run well. And I couldn't really find one of those. So then you just look for me, I just look for the fastest, most accomplished horses that have run at the level and close my eyes and hope.
T
typically, I would say, you say any part of the race faster on the dirt and maiden claimers. To me, it's horses who did something early, did anything early against maiden specials or just have fast pace figures, because typically the trend is a lot less passing when you go down the ladder in maiden claimer. You know, obviously speed deadly in dirt racing pretty much unilaterally, but especially when you get down to the maiden claiming level, it can really be the thing that makes the difference, to your point. And those are some good ideas. Maybe I'll throw them in on the backup ticket, but I am going to hopefully have a chance to be alive to something with our troubadour. All right, JK, that brings us to the end of another Pick 5 sequence. So much fun doing these shows. We really enjoy getting a chance to look at Naira all year round. A lot of good stuff going on. If you haven't yet gotten your Naira Bets account, I mean, I just have to make the assumption you don't like money. When you sign up, you can get the promo I talk about at the beginning and sometimes the end of the shows. If you haven't done so, please do so. It helps us out, especially when you use our promo code, which is now MONEY20. Any closing thought from you, JK, before we kick this show to the curb?
Not that I can think of. It's Derby season is upon us. It feels like it's starting to kind of ramp up. So you might have had a couple weeks off, and now you got to start getting back in it and getting your getting ready for the heavy stuff.
We look forward to it. We're going to be doing shows all throughout the Triple Crown as well. If you're interested in racing around the country, we go over the late pick 4 from Fairgrounds on the main show this week, and we've got a lot of good content coming your way. Keep an eye out over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com or follow us on Twitter. I'm at Looms Boldly. He's at UT Big Hair. This show's been a production of In The Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.
I guess the Lord must be New York City. Well, here I am, Lord, knocking at your back door. Ain't it wonderful to be where I've always wanted to be? For the first time, I'll breathe free here in New York City.
This Saturday is your last chance to cash in on Naira Bets' Gulfstream Cashback Bonus. On Saturday, in the Sunshine Millions Classic, bet $20 on one horse to win using the Naira Bets app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Bets? No problem. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code MONEY20 and earn a deposit match bonus up to $200. Sign up today for your $200 bonus at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app.